Hello and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. And we are here and we are going to be talking about various news items, but also this week we are focusing on queer or lesbian or bi women or femme trans women, because we were kind of catching all. And they all have that sort of folksy vibe. Apparently that's a big thing for Canadian queer female artists.
Yes.
To have a folksy vibe.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's a theme we've gone through this week. Yeah.
And then you have a few, like, guest artists in a way. Like, Owen Pallett is male and male-identified, but a lot of people lump him in with the, like, lesbian folk rock because he kind of has a similar sound.
Yeah. Well, Owen Pallett's not on our list.
No.
He didn't make the cut.
No.
It's very unfortunate. So this is also for your benefit, because we're joined this week by Brendan. How are you doing today?
Excellent.
Now, Brendan,
it's good to be in the CHUO studio.
Yeah, because we record out of CHUO FM 89.1 in Ottawa. Now, Brendan, here for folks listening may recognize you. You were a guest on our Big Gay Quiz of the Year, I believe. And I've come on a few times to talk politics with us. So you're certainly a big help. And we will be talking politics. Unfortunately, I know.
Especially, I had my show this morning.
What was the topic on your show this
morning? So, one, we were talking about Donald Trump uses his opening speech on Black History Month to insult the media further and to attack people. You know, really, like, are our expectations going to get any lower? I don't know.
I don't understand how people have any expectations anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Including the response by the Honorable Ralph Goodale. He had a response on the immigration policy towards seven Muslim-majority countries, minus the countries that he has business ties with, of course.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of interesting because he generates this fear of Islam and Muslims as though they're all radical. What's the phrase that he uses? Radical Muslim extremists or radical Islamic extremism.
Also,
that's
bad hombres.
Bad hombres. Yeah. The best line ever.
But the country in the world with the highest population of Muslims, I believe, is Indonesia. It's either Indonesia or Malaysia. I can never remember. No, Malaysia's a region, so it would have to be Indonesia.
Malaysia and Indonesia both have their own separate Islamic
tradition,
cultural
revolutions. It's a different kind. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's all Islam.
If you want to talk about countries that have gone from non-Muslim to Muslim very quickly in the last 30, 40 years, they are prime examples of.
But really, the what I was trying to bring up is just like the population in Indonesia and Malaysia is way bigger than a lot of the countries that do have a ban already. I mean, it's obvious, you know, these are people who didn't give him or didn't give people the oil when they said, give me the oil. And then the countries that are still allowed in are the ones that when people said, give me the oil, they said, okay, how much?
Mm-hmm. So countries like, wait, I was about to say, no, it's Turkey, Azerbaijan, and I believe
Saudi
Egypt.
Arabia.
And I believe Egypt.
Absolutely. Moving on.
What's our first story?
Well, our first story, well, actually, we got a lot of folk rock scene music to go through. So let's kick it off with a bit of a track. And we're going to start off with Sarah McLachlan. Why did you want to do Sarah McLachlan?
Because I like her.
Also, yes.
When I was in high school, there was a go-to list of artists where I would listen to them every time I did my homework. And you just get into that, you hear that music and you're like, oh, it's time to do homework now. It's kind of like, you know, giving yourself a little bit of
It's like setting a good routine for yourself, like a study routine.
Well, I mean, I was thinking more like, what's his name? The dude with the bell.
The dude with the bell.
And the dog, and it's salivates.
Oh, Pavlov.
Yeah, there you go. I was giving myself Pavlovian training.
You're conditioning yourself.
I was conditioning myself, which you can do.
While you were aware of it.
You can do that. Anyway.
Unfortunately for our, I mean, luckily for our listeners, they're not going to see Sebastian salivating widely as we play the song. Stop making that sound.
but Sarah McLachlan, there's a lot of controversy around her in the 90s because a lot of people assumed she was a lesbian, and then she married a man, and they're like, what? And she's like, I was bi. I said that the whole time. I don't know what you guys were thinking. and then Ani DeFranco did the exact same thing. And it was bizarre. Anyway, so yeah, Sarah McLachlan, early stuff is actually really good. And then she did Adia, and it kind of went, not so good after that. And there's a lot of artists who, you know, they the first half, the hidden half of their career was really good, and then it kind of went.
So after Sarah, we're actually playing Tegan and Sarah's Living Room, which was another suggestion from you, which is likewise very early Tegan and Sarah.
Yes.
Much more folksy than their more recent stuff.
There's a banjo in it.
There is a gosh darn banjo in this song.
That's true, yeah.
So we'll be back after.
And something to note about Tegan and Sarah is they are both openly gay.
But not with each other.
Not with each other. A lot of people assume they're a couple. Except they're identical twin sisters.
Yeah, they're twin sisters.
And people and they keep on stage being like, guys, stop shipping us. It's gross.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there who would wish, oh, wouldn't that be great? But it's like, no, that's creepy, guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's
a line.
There is a line.
When you are 100% genetically related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be back after Sarah McLachlan's Fumbling Towards Ecstasy and Tegan and Sarah's Living Room. And you're listening to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media.
I feel a rage, I want To make you move and across the way from me. I hope I never figure out who broke your heart. And if I do, I'd spend all night losing sleep. I'd spend the night and I'd lose my mind. Or I'd spend the night and I'd lose my mind. My windows look into your bathroom. You get yourself clean, and I wonder why it is that they left this bathroom so unclean, so unlike me. I hope I never figure out who broke your heart. And if I do, if I do, I'd spend all night losing sleep. I'd spend the night and I'd lose my mind. I'd spend the night and I'd lose my mind. I'd spend all night. I spend the night and I lose my mind. If I spend the night, then I lose my mind.
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith, and I'm being joined here by Sebastian and Brendan. How are you doing? First topic, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos.
Yes.
I was actually just asking.
Actually, earlier Luke asked me what I knew about him, so that if it would be interesting to talk about him. And the truth is, about 6 or 7 months ago, I remember when some of the earlier stories of him came out, I read them, and I was like, oh, this person's just garbage. And then after that, whenever I saw his name in the title of an article, I just wouldn't read it because it was just like, I don't want to know that this guy exists in my world because he's just human waste.
And we as a show have only mentioned him once, and that was when he went to a campus where a student had sued the school for accessibility, a trans student. Mm-hmm. And he spent 10 minutes just berating and belittling and making fun of this student in an audience of his peers for 10 minutes. And it was
an audience of people who are most likely to not understand his situation or to react in a negative way.
And we'll see him the next day in class. Yeah. Absolutely. Very, very frightening. And the school issued an apology, being like, gosh darn, we really shouldn't have done that. Who knew this would have happened? To which everyone is like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Have you Googled the guy?
Yeah.
And the guy, the teen who sued the school, actually called him out in a letter to the president. And it was a very expletive-laden letter, and it went viral, of course. But, called out the school president for their fake apology, I suppose.
Oh, to the president of the school?
Yeah, who was oh no, we're so sorry. Who knew that this bigot who just exposes hate speech...
Was it UC Berkeley?
No, this was a while back. This was in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which feels like forever ago now, thank God.
So what has happened recently that we're bringing him up now?
Oh, my God. This man, I heard him described in an article as a fame whore, which I don't like to use because what it would do is undermine sex workers by using that phrase.
Well, it would also undermine people who do publicity as a career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this man, he is somehow now the editor of Breitbart, which is your number one most reliable news source. if you are a cop.
For alternative facts.
Yeah.
I find it so interesting how the whole rhetoric of fake news was flipped around on mainstream media. It went from the alt-right And now the alt-right is spouting things like, oh, you are fake news. You guys, we're going to give you the alternative facts. And even the White House is doing that now. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, I know that Ursula Le Guin, of all people, came out against fake news, fake facts and alternative reality. Because apparently one of Trump's many stooges came out and said that, you know, people make alternative facts and alternative realities all the time. You know, it happens in... It may not have been a stooge. I think it was just a letter to the editor that nobody realized was actually satire. So anyway, but the point being that they were arguing that this thing happens all the time in science fiction, such as Ursula Le Guin. And Ursula Le Guin actually responded being like, what I do is literally making stuff up. What he does is run the government. There is a certain difference.
Yeah.
And in terms of making things up, I mean, was it yesterday or today they announced that the reason why there's a ban is because of the Greenfield massacre or the green something massacre, which never happened.
It was a massacre that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Where a bunch of imaginary Muslim extremists killed several hundred imaginary white Americans at a place that doesn't actually exist anywhere in America.
And when did this supposedly happen?
Some time ago. It happened. And
But would it be like in our recent history, like, you know, but in the time that we were alive?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't really look into it because it's stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the point being.
Well, the thing is, if it happened 30 years ago, it would have predated, mm-hmm. like, the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIL mm-hmm. and all that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been a completely and
totally...
We've
been Al-Qaeda, and it's not really their go-to at that point.
Yeah, no. You know, not really. Yeah. They, Al-Qaeda, they're not...
And if you go further back, yeah. you're looking at the Taliban, which the Americans actually supported at one point. So it's... It's a mess. Like, there's no point rationalizing it because it didn't happen.
Maybe they should just stop dumping their money into foreign paramilitary groups.
Or just stop talking to the media. So rolling it back to Milo Yiannopoulos, who is now apparently an editor of Breitbart. He got banned from Twitter because
he's also a man who changes his identity quite frequently.
Well, his haircut.
Not his haircut. No, I mean his identity. Like, he goes from being Jewish to Christian.
No. To be fair, one's haircut is one's identity.
This is, as a gay man,
yeah.
I mean, that's yeah. synonymous.
Yeah.
So I was about to say a bad word, but I can't say that right now, so.
So, yes, he got banned from Twitter because he is a troll. Yeah. That's what he is. And he was targeting people and harassing them, and Twitter said no. So, I mean, if the ISIS account...
Did Breitbart also get banned from Twitter?
I don't think so. So he got banned from Twitter, and he's being on this free speech tour where he talks about the need for free speech, which essentially is just him at a podium for an hour ranting about the liberal left and, you know, the rise of socialism and how feminists are taking over the world. And it's just, it's not very good. So, and he also berates trans rights activists and
feminists.
And feminists.
Yeah.
And
he sends his army of drones and trolls after them. That's what I was saying before I tripped on the phone before got here. Yeah, he sends his army of drones after people, and he incites, disgusting,
hatred.
Violent language and offensive harassment towards people who are just trying to express yeah. an opinion on something that he, one, does not identify with, and two, has absolutely no right to say, I'm a gay man and I also hate feminism. Like, I just think that it's doing a great disservice to humanity. Mm-hmm. I hear some people who say, oh, Milo Yiannopoulos said this and this and this, but I don't subscribe to it. I haven't heard it myself. You can't be a good speaker and then also send an army of just drones after people to attack
them. But he's not a good speaker. What he does is he sits there and under the guise of free speech, incites hatred and violence mm-hmm. against the most vulnerable people in our sector.
Because his audience is all of these terrible, hateful people from
but
the alt-right.
But not always, no. His speech tour has been at university. So UC Berkeley,
yeah.
which you mentioned
most
earlier.
Recently.
A couple of days ago, actually. If you're listening, it was probably last week.
He's been having more and more difficulty since the inauguration, yeah. Going to events.
Because and it's from this trans student. It's been escalating where he was supposed to be having this event. UC Berkeley apparently never Googled him. Who knew?
Mm.
And then there was massive protests because people at that university don't want someone espousing hate speech at the university. Here at Carleton, where
and California is a very liberal side of the country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember...
They have stricter gun laws. They have more loose...
change?
Pardon me? Change. Loose change. Thank you, Sebastian. Just chewing up our time.
Oh, my God.
We will cover the next 1.5 topics next week on...
For the audience, I have a major sleep disorder, and I have good and bad days. And I've been, like, off all day, people talking to me, and I just stare at them going, like, But then I can also...
I was on the phone with Sebastian.
That out totally fast.
I was on the phone with Sebastian. Where is CHUO? Give me directions. And he's like, your butt. Yeah. And I was like, thank you, Sebastian, for once again being a mature adult.
Yeah. I mean...
The answer to a lot of questions is your butt.
Your answer to a lot of questions is your butt.
Well, I mean, and my brother.
I'm assuming that your audience is the same audience as it was before.
Yeah.
People definitely know that you are. Anyway, we're getting into butts now. We're getting into butts now. So,
and actually, that's next week's episode.
So yeah, people have a lot of loose change in California.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm going to roll it back. So UC Berkeley, the protests, apparently 150 agitators came in.
I'm going to say looser freedoms.
And it would, and it got shut down. Absolutely.
You were probably thinking something else.
Moving on. So actually, and Trump tweeted that he essentially threatened federal funding for education to UC Berkeley because they shut down this idiot's
That's not even
speech.
His position. Like, the Secretary of Education could possibly make that threat, but they don't know how to run the country. His whole team, kind of. They're kind of in on it.
You know, in our opinion. Because his lawsuits are huge.
Matthew Perry is actually famous for doing perfect impersonations of people that are impossible to distinguish. Like, even their own spouses can't tell the difference between Matthew Perry and the person he's impersonating. But it's because he spends time practicing one word. Mm. So he knows how to say the word water in the voice of Dustin Hoffman in a way that makes people not know if it's Matthew Perry or Dustin Hoffman. But it's only the word water.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The Trip? Oh, you would love this movie. You know who Rob Brydon is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's very famous Welsh radio personality and comedian, yeah. Him and Steve Coogan, they go around on – there's two movies, The Trip and The Trip to Italy. They just do impressions the entire time. They're reading from old dead poets, and it's sometimes it's a little sad, but it's like an alternate reality. It's very funny. You guys love – the entire time they're nailing impressions perfectly. Michael Caine, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino.
All right. So we are playing some Ember Swift and the song Sleep, which is a pretty cool upbeat song, new song from Ember Swift. And we're also going to play some Amanda Hume and Dead Horse, which are two Canadian queer ladies, which I'm very excited about. So one of the reasons why I wanted to play a lot of music this week is actually because, I mean, there's music festivals sprouting up all over the country.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Canada's had an incredible year last year for Canadian musicians. I mean, everybody knows, like, The Weeknd and Drake and Justin Bieber and Carly Rae Jepsen. And
yeah, but those are people who made it big in the American music industry, though. They are Canadian, and many of them started off in the Canadian music industry, but they got huge.
Well, Drake and The Weeknd were really big in Toronto, which, as everyone knows, is the center of the universe. So, I mean, that's...
In Canada.
Moving on.
I mean, there are people who would disagree with you and say that's Montreal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it's
what do you think is the center of the universe? Tweet us at Velvet Studio One.
The center of pop culture is Toronto, but the center of culture is Montreal.
All right, we're moving on. This is Ember Swift. We'll be back just
after
this.
You know, they do say there's a black hole in there.
Bye.
Best friend, how could took you for granted. You are among the precious things on this planet. But now the world's got another, and she is crying for her mother. Sleep, come back to get me sleep. Please don't forget me sleep. How could you let me go? I used to share all my dreams with you, and now it seems what they say is true. Look to the future and let the past blur. How could you let me go? I took you for granted. You are among the precious things on this planet. But now the world's got another.
I never learned my lesson. I never told the truth. Never kept a promise or made the time for you. There's no points for trying. Can't seem to get it right. You'd bear your crosses, turn water into wine, preaching your in your eyes. There's no points for trying. It's time we move on. You've been waiting on this for so long. You finally got your
Welcome back to Kankwe, home of Canada's queer media. My apologies, our show hasn't been totally queer topic related. All of our music is by queer artists, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, I was wondering what the connection was to Milo.
No, there isn't. We're just talking about news.
Oh, okay.
In betwixt.
Okay.
Canadian female artists.
Groovy, I dig it. Let's go. Okay.
How would you define Milo Yiannopoulos?
An idiot, and I'm moving on.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean define?
I mean, is he radical? Is he extreme in his views? Is he wrong, I guess?
Well, he's wrong. That's that much is certain. And he's an idiot. And he's a puppet of somebody trying to gain influence on a certain amount of viewers. I think the fact that he's gay is being
Steve Bannon? Who's also now one of the chief advisors to the president.
The owner of Breitbart, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that
there's a satire sister site called Buttbart. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Who runs it?
I know Chuck Tingle's involved in the project.
So
I'm a huge fan of Chuck Tingle. I think that's come up before.
It did. Actually, last week's show.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively was you and Chuck Tingle conversation.
Actually, for people who missed that episode, and for Brendan here.
Who definitely missed that episode.
For your sake. Chuck Tingle very brilliantly came up with a formal definition of what an alternative fact is.
Mm.
It is a fact that is an actual fact, but in an alternative timeline.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like the Greenfields Massacre.
Yeah. A lot of them are things
Google it?
They're plausible. They're things that sound kind of, you know, they have truthiness to it. It's just, it did not happen in this timeline. So I like that. I like that slant. Anyway, go on.
Of the things that we wanted to talk about, which is both Canadian and queer, but still kind of connected to Trump, because last week we did a news show not talking about Trump.
Right.
So this week we're doing a bit of a news show talking about Trump, but not Trump, but still Trump.
It's kind of hard to not talk about.
It is extremely difficult to not discuss Donald Trump on my show.
Yeah.
So the impact he has had on LGBT refugees in Canada. How about you just tell us the story?
So after the Muslim ban, including the green card ban, which is, I think, that violates a few international laws.
And human rights.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very quickly stayed by judges.
Yeah.
So
I'm worried that very quickly the United States will drop below Saudi Arabia in terms of respecting human rights. And Saudi Arabia, who now, by the way, is the number one contributor of soldiers to the UN peacekeeping missions. Did you know that?
I think that also
Saudi Arabia and Turkey, I believe.
And California has the lowest rate of democracy in the world. It's you're better off being a voter.
That's probably considered because of
it's just stuff like gerrymandering and
the Second Amendment,
lack of access.
If you violate the Second Amendment, that is a gross violation of freedom in the United States, in their opinion.
Right, but okay. So the ban, right? Okay,
the ban.
Yeah.
So
my cousin lives in Chicago with her husband. They teach at the Saint Xavier University there.
Oh, cool.
Mathematics. They teach mathematics. They have twin boys. Her husband Ahmad, he's from Iran, and all of his family is back there. If he ever wanted to go back there, or if he wanted to do it recently, I guess he would not be allowed back in the United States.
Even though he's a naturalized citizen now.
If his mother were to pass away in the next couple of months, he would not be allowed to go there. Because he would not be allowed to come back to the United States.
Back to LGBT refugees.
Mm. Right. Okay. So as it was, America had iffy, mediocre policies on accepting LGBT-identified refugees. Like refugees on an LGBT basis. So if you're coming in from Kenya, for example, that's not really a refugee state currently. But if you are LGBT-identified, you can file as a refugee because of some...
For political asylum.
Yeah, political asylum and for various reasons. So whatever few rules and whatever they had before has basically just completely and totally evaporated. And the only countries that actually have a major policy on fast-tracking LGBT refugees, mostly because it's sort of just a copy of if you're a refugee without a family, you tend to get left behind. And so they have a slightly different process for them. And anyway, so now that America's sort of not so great for refugee stuff, Canada just kind of went, oh, okay, well, we'll take them. And Canada, the Netherlands, and I think Germany, I might be making that up. It might be Norway or Sweden. It's just another Germanic-speaking country. It's Germany? Okay.
Jordan and Turkey.
Are the only ones, that have...
LGBTQ-identified refugees.
But not just that, but like very, very assertive ones, where it's like, if you identify, we will pull you aside and we will help you through the system. Like, so we We actually have a formal system specifically for LGBT identified
like
refugees.
Being a discriminated minority, one, trans identified and homosexuals, I should say. Imagine for the first time in your entire life you're able to identify as gay or trans and not be persecuted for it. Imagine how difficult that would be, getting the courage to do that.
And you do it on paperwork.
Yeah, I know, no, no. But like, imagine how that must feel for the first time, being able to have that freedom and not being persecuted or exposed for it. Or
we actually, what was it, 7 months ago or something like that?
No, it was in September. We did a whole month.
You know,
on
that's true. It was September, wasn't it? Yeah, refugee month. We actually had quite a few guests throughout that month who came in and said it's actually not that easy because you apply for status, and even if you do get accepted. And things go your way perfectly every time. Every single step you go through, it happens at the fastest possible rate. You're still waiting 2 or 3 weeks between when you file and when you get accepted as a Canadian refugee or a refugee in Canada, I should say. That's 2 or 3 weeks after you identified that you're still in the camp or still in whatever country of origin you're in.
And people start to notice you might not be with any family, you might be alone.
Yeah.
Usually where's your wife? You're an adult man or you're an adult woman.
Usually it's the UN that identifies them as well.
It would be even harder as a woman, actually, I believe. You know, we're going to see Syria be another country that has diaspora all over the world for generations to come, more so than there are actually Syrian people living in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to move on from this.
Because, so we're talking about the ban, right? So the Canadian government, actually it was Trudeau, I think it was just like 4 days ago. It was like, yeah, we'll take them. That's not a problem. And
a lot of schools across the country have announced that they're opening up. They're encouraging more international students to go there instead of to the States because they'll actually get in through the airport.
And yet Germany has also, I think it was a week and a half ago, declared that they will take Canadian students in for low or free tuition as well.
Ooh. Because Germany is considered one of the best countries to study abroad in.
Yes.
I have some friends who've gone to Germany and never come back.
I've actually heard from quite a few German students as well that their teachers discourage them from teaching, from studying in Canada.
Why?
They look down on our education system.
What?
We don't have a national level. No, we don't have a Ministry of Education.
The mainland Europeans, the Germanics, they hate our education system.
Yeah. I mean, as a Brit, it boggles me, and this is one of my biggest gripes with the Canadian education, at least in the province of Ontario, that you do all of high school, and then you leave high school, and at the end of that, there's a bit of paper that just says, well done, you did high school.
Yeah.
In Britain, you have qualifications at different levels in English, maths, in every single course can be used as a qualification. So if you do, we'll be back just after Biff Naked. We're going to be playing The Only One by Biff Naked. And right after that,
one last song. It's a song titled The Only One.
Yeah.
It's not The Only One that...
By Biff Naked.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Surely did one song.
You got to watch out for that sort of thing, yeah. Right?
No, this is The Only One song title
like
by Biff Naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, back after this on CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith, and I'm joined here by Sebastian, who is laughing, and Brendan. So very quickly, because we are running very short on time, is Pride Toronto, their police ban is the last topic. It's not related to Trump, I'm very glad to say. Mm-hmm. And we never addressed
But it's related to BLM wanting them not present.
Yeah.
So I've had a very strong opinion on this, and my opinion was very strictly related to the fact that during the Pride Parade, they were the guest of honors. They said, thank you very much, we'll be there, lovely jubbly, marching along. And then they held their protest, stopped the march, people on the tail end waiting for hours. And then they said, you know, if you sign this agreement, we'll get up and move. So Pride Toronto, over the barrel, signed it. And then they changed their mind. Pride Toronto said, well, actually, now the parade's over and you've all gone home, we're not actually going to do that because we're no longer over a barrel. And BLM in Toronto were shocked and aghast and outraged that they did this U-turn, not under pressure.
When they signed the document, did they actually sign their name or were they just like, Nurse Jenny? Like, did they check that the signature was actually theirs? Because, I mean, I would have done that. I mean,
well, but it wasn't a contract as well. It wasn't legally binding. No, okay. It was a list of demands, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, the whole situation was peculiar. And it's one of those things where if you, whatever side you agree with, you're still going to go, but they probably could have done X, Y, Z a little bit differently.
But, I mean, they've tried asking nicely. They've tried engaging in the process.
The number one thing for BLM was that nobody was listening. Yeah. And when people were listening, it was like, nice. And then nothing would change. So, I mean, I do not question them or anything for doing something. The fact that they did a thing, I support completely. Yeah.
But my issue...
But it's a thing involved in a completely different group. The whole point is it's over gay pride.
No, it was that beef was with pride.
Yeah. No, their beef was with pride.
Because they wanted to participate in the parade. No.
So one of the demands, they among many things, they wanted to bring back...
Pardon my ignorance.
And one of the many things they wanted to do is to have more money and funding for a stage for ethnocultural communities in Toronto. No one's disagreeing that it needs to happen.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
That's a
lot of their demands are absolutely very reasonable. Because
pride is intersectional.
Absolutely. And all to be followed.
It's meant to be.
But one of them, and there were many of them, but one of them included the police not being in the parade.
Yeah.
As a in uniform body. So one of the demands was no police. They agreed to it, changed their mind. I mean, my point.
But is that like in a limited capacity? Like no police in the parade?
No, they don't want a cohort or a group of
a float. They don't want a float.
They don't want uniformed officers marching in the parade as if they are
part of the parade.
Part of the parade.
Yeah.
So the fact is, like, even if you do remove the police from marching in the parade, you're still going to have uniformed officers marching in the parade, except they're going to be there as marshals instead of as a group. So
no uniforms.
But they have to be in uniform. That's part of the price of getting the security. Mm. So, I mean, a police officer not in uniform is not an officer. They're just a civilian. If they're not in uniform.
And they can't be identified as a police officer if they're not in uniform.
Yeah.
Because people assume a police officer has...
But a million to 2 million people walking down Yonge Street is a huge security concern.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not only for the parade
but
goers.
We're missing the point here.
Missing the point.
The point here is police. Let's imagine the police on the back of a truck. It's a float. So they're not doing security stuff. They're on the back of the the back of a truck. They got water pistols. They're on the float because there was some confusion about marshals and security.
Yeah.
So the idea here is they don't want this particular float in the parade because
right.
of the police. The police's history of arresting gay men. So, for example, not too long ago, they raided Etobicoke Park and arrested 20, 30 men.
They raided the park a week after apologizing
for raiding publicly.
It was just...
We are so sorry for randomly arresting gay men specifically. We should not do that again. Also, Steve, how's that operation going? you know, it was a mess. So they don't want them. They don't want them.
Yeah.
And... they made them agree to it. Pride under pressure said yes. Pride not under pressure said no. Big stink. Yeah. Now, they've actually gone through the democratic process. They got enough people to vote.
Yeah.
They've changed the membership of the board of directors, or the membership of the board of directors has changed.
Yeah.
There has been some activism and some engagement from the BLM movement.
Yep.
And now this new board of directors.
And it's largely just through the normal election process at
Absolutely.
An annual general meeting.
Absolutely.
They did their AGM. People got replaced because that's what happens at AGMs.
They did exactly the democratic process of engaging the members and kind of pitting the argument. And as a result, the new board of Toronto has agreed to remove the uniform police float.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a lot of questions there, you know, because you've mentioned pride is intersectional. Well, now we're getting into a lot of really difficult questions for pride.
What are we going to do about the naked people, though? Because when I went in a couple of years ago, there was a woman on a float and she had this little sprinkler and she was completely naked.
Yeah.
But the thing is that her skin was completely beet red. I mean, Luke and I come from the UK, like our heritage is from the UK. We're the palest people on earth and we're the most likely to get
skin cancer. I literally came from
cancer.
There.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, we're most likely to get skin cancer.
Yeah.
More so than Iceland?
I was really worried about...
Or Finland, which is partly above the
Arctic
Circle?
No, people from Ireland, Scotland, and the UK make up 90% of skin cancer cases. I think maybe 95%.
Is that an alternative fact?
That is an alternative fact. No, that is a real fact. That is a real fact.
All right, we're not going to source check you on that.
But just to clarify, people of darker skin colors are... It's more likely that you will be diagnosed with skin cancer at a later stage of cancer. It's harder to diagnose people of color with skin cancer, and it's more likely to be more damaging.
So the reason why there were nudists in Toronto is because there is a court decision. So
someone please slather that woman with sunscreen, please. Yeah.
But the idea being that it's not illegal to be nude. It's illegal to be nude in places where it's not expected to be nude. So if you're in a grocery store and you're nude, no one expects you to be nude in a grocery store.
No shirts, no shoes, no service.
Absolutely. But if you're on a nudist beach, it's kind of expected.
Mm.
So the argument
it is the
is
norm.
That the argument has always been, and it's been through the courts.
Like,
if
you're wearing clothes, you're weird, not me.
So the argument is that the Pride parade is expected. And it's kind of one of those things where it's set by precedent. So Toronto Pride has had a nudist float for a while. So to argue that it's not expected now would be very difficult. However, Ottawa Pride has never had a nudist float.
Just give them a couple parasols and a gallon of sunblock. Please, I don't want people getting harmed.
Zinc oxide.
But we're moving, and we've run out of run out of time, and to talk about this topic, maybe next time we'll get into it a bit more. So we are playing out with Ria Mai, and the song is "Thoughts on Fire." I had to look through my dreadful handwriting here. Thank you so much for joining us. Our conversation was a little bit all over the place.
Banter, jibber jabber.
Yeah,
Brendan has pants on fire.
No, it's thoughts on fire, not pants on fire.
No, but Brendan, I'm talking about Brendan here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his pants are on. We're moving on. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch us next week. This has been Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. I've been Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
1941. 41. The first time I ever performed.
And were you nervous?
Yes. I sure was.
Thoughts on fire, all these thoughts on fire, it would tear me apart to think that you were lying, all these thoughts on fire. Ooh.
thinking. I'm unaware if you're trying to bring me down. Too busy thinking better thoughts. And I love that so much. I believe, I believe, I believe I can do it if I want. I believe I can do it if I want. I believe that everyone's with me. All these thoughts on fire, fire. All these thoughts on fire, fire. If they tell you you can't, they're a liar, liar. All these thoughts on fire. You to the finish line. I was your favorite underdog. I'm gonna miss that so much. I believe, I believe, I believe I can do it if I want. I believe I can do it if I want. I believe that everyone's with me. All these thoughts on fire, fire.
With a conscience, trying to stay away from all the cheating and the nonsense. Avoiding all the demons and the monsters, but all these evil demons are the reason that I'm strongest. When I started this, I knew that I would conquer. Back when there was no one ever screaming at my concert. Back when there was not a person even at my concert. They were sleeping on me, but ain't sleeping any longer. My thoughts are on fire, I believe, I believe. I was worn out and tired, now I'm free, I can breathe. When they try to hold you back, you push them back harder. Let them know what's on your mind, and then you push a little further.
All these thoughts on fire, fire. All these thoughts on fire, fire. If they tell you you can't, they're a liar.